T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With the 10th pick in the 2022 NBA Draft, the Washington Wizards select Johnny Davis from the University of Wisconsin.
There is a new wizard in D.C. Welcome back, Grant and Danny, the day after the NBA draft day. Thanks much for making the show part of your Friday. Right now, joining G&D on the hotline, Odyssey NBA insider Ryan McDonough. Insider calls are presented by Hey Maine, new podcast from Kenny Maine. Each week, Kenny talks to famous people from the world of sports, music, and all kinds of other stuff. Ryan, we appreciate the time. Thank you. Much appreciate a few minutes.
Hey, Grant and Danny, always great to be on with you guys.
Appreciate it, buddy. What'd you make of Johnny Davis at 10 last night for the Wiz?
Well, I guess the first thought I have is I'm glad he walked across the stage and shook the commissioner's hand rather than jetting to Taco Bell if he got hungry. But beyond that, that's a joke for those who haven't seen the commercial. Beyond that, I like his body. He's a strong-bodied wing. He's physical. He likes to initiate contact. I like how he draws fouls, gets to the free throw line. This is a very productive college player. For those your listeners who haven't seen him play, he was one of the best players in the country this year as a sophomore at Wisconsin after having a pretty underwhelming freshman year. He didn't start a game. He only averaged 7 points a game. So I thought it was a solid pick for Washington. But now that it's been made, I think more of the intrigue with the Wiz probably shifts toward free agency and specifically the situation with Bradley Beal.
Yeah, which we will get into. One other Davis question for me is, what type of three-point shooter will he become? Because there is some curiosity about that. There's some doubt about that. And I think that's how you could unlock him being maybe a 20-point-a-game type guy in the NBA ultimately.
I think that'll be the big question with Johnny Davis and what his ceiling is. Most of the evaluators around the league who I talk to and respect had him slotted around where the Wizards took him at 10. And the reason he wasn't maybe a little bit higher, given that he had a very productive year, averaged close to 20 points, 8-plus rebounds a game, a couple assists at Wisconsin, was the shooting. It improved, especially his free throw shooting improved from year one to year two, and he's very good at getting to the free throw line. But he only shot 29% this year from the college three-point line. If he can unlock that stroke, which, watching the way he shoots it, I don't have any reason to believe that he won't get significantly better as he gets more practice and reps and gets around NBA coaching, then he has a chance to be a pretty solid offensive player.
Ryan McDonough with us here on G&D, breaking down the draft and where the Wizards go from here. So, Ryan, I know everyone's telling me about positionless basketball, but in the next breath, they're like, we also need a point guard. So there's still some positions, right? What's he going to be at this next level? Is he a two? Is he a three with small ball? Is he an occasional offense initiator, maybe in some half-court sets? What do you think about Davis there?
Yeah, Davis measured about 6'6 in sneakers, about 200 pounds, got about 6'9 wingspan. So I think he slots in as a wing, a two or three. NBA teams, go a little bit smaller these days, so you can get away with playing maybe multiple smaller wings. Very few teams post mismatches and try to, dominate physically with their perimeter players posting up guys on the offensive end. So I think he could play alongside Bradley Beal. But to answer your question more directly, I think the Wizards have to add and will add a point guard over the next week or so, either in free agency or via trade. Johnny Davis is a nice player and a nice piece, but he just recently turned 20 years old. He's a young, two-year college player who's unproven. So I think if they re-sign Bradley Beal, which I anticipate they will. I think they'll go look at some veteran point guards. Keep an eye on guys like Tyus Jones and Ricky Rubio on the free agent market, maybe somebody else via trade, but I don't think they view, you know, Downey Davis necessarily as the night one starter alongside Bradley Beal in the backcourt.
Odyssey NBA insider Ryan McDonough on Grant and Danny. We will come back to the Wizards. I want to get some thoughts about the top of the draft board. Otherwise, though, we were told by Woj and others, this is a done deal. Jabari Smith is one, Paolo Banchero's three. Everyone was kind of on the Thunder and Chet Holmgren. Didn't work out the way we thought. Banchero came off the board first, and Smith went third to the Rockets. Which of those big three that separated themselves do you think will be the best NBA player?
I think it's really close, and I understand why the betting markets were upended late. I think you can make a strong argument that Paolo Banchero will be the best player. Let me put it this way, guys. I think Banchero is the safest of the three. He has a higher floor, to use NBA terminology, I think, than the other guys, just because he's been one of the best players his entire life. You know, throughout high school and AAU, coming up the ranks, his body is ready-made, certainly more ready-made for the NBA than Chet Holmgren. He's built like an NBA power forward already at just 19 years old, but he's also skilled. He can dribble, pass, and shoot, so he has a chance to be a pretty complete offensive player. Now, Holmgren has more upside, I think, with the incredible length and shooting ability and shot-blocking ability, but that body is going to take some time. So I understand why Orlando did what they did. I think Banchero could end up, you know, being the best player of that trio. I guess I was a little confused, guys, but just from a process standpoint, though, as far as why were they so secretive. I saw some interviews with Banchero saying he didn't really interact much with Orlando. I don't think he visited the team in Orlando, so I don't really understand that. When you have the number one pick, you control the draft. I guess I'm a little confused as to why they were so secretive about their process.
That's a good point. You're not worried about other teams finding out.
Yeah, exactly. No one's going to sneak out from underneath you and take the guy that you want.
Why would you even do that? That's crazy. You're right.
Ryan, I want to.
Yeah, and it's a big decision. You know, it's a big decision. So for me, you know, you want all the information possible. I'd want to maximize time with those guys. The way the NBA works in this process is you can have two visits. One can be for up to 48 hours, and then the second can be for up to 24 hours. So for them to apparently not use either one with a pick of this magnitude, I still think the kid's going to be a good player, and ultimately that's all that matters. But I'm scratching my head as far as why it was such a cloak and dagger thing, especially when they ended up keeping the pick. Like you said, they're number one. Nobody can get ahead of them in drafting. I think it would have made sense to bring in as many guys at the top of the draft as you can and spend as much time with them as possible to hopefully get to know everything about them.
So, Ryan, a couple years ago, the Kings passed on Luka Doncic, took Marvin Bagley, DeAndre Ayton went number one overall, but we think of that as the Luka Doncic draft, and you know that's the star from right up there that everybody kind of passed on. If somebody does something like that, if a guy that a few teams passed on turns into a stud, who is that guy and where is he now?
I think it's Jaden Ivey in this year's draft. I think those top three front court players who we just discussed, Banchero, Holmgren, Jabari Smith Jr., got most of the attention, but I wouldn't at all be surprised if we look back in 3 to 5 years and said Jaden Ivey was the best player to come out of the 2022 draft. There are some shades of Ja Morant. He's not the playmaker that Ja is, at least not yet, but the way he moves with the ball is at a different speed. In fact, I actually think he's probably more similar to a guy that you guys know very well. He used to play in your backyard, and that's John Wall before he was injured. You guys know how John in his prime just moved at a different speed than everybody else, and it was really tough for defenses to stay in front of him. I think Ivy has that kind of explosiveness with the ball. So I was a little surprised that Sacramento passed on him. They do have De'Aaron Fox in their backcourt along with Davion Mitchell, last year's lottery pick, but I think the Kings need talent. They took probably a better positional fit, at least if they don't make any other moves to the roster, in Keegan Murray, but I really love Detroit's draft. I think Ivy has a chance to be a superstar, and then I love that they were able to maneuver around a little bit and then add Jalen Duren, who I thought was the best center in the draft, in the trade. I think Detroit, to me, won draft night.
All right, so Ryan, you had referenced the point guard situation in Washington, some possible targets for the Wizards. Let's drill a little deeper down on those. I like the name Rubio that you brought up in free agency. You also mentioned the trade market. Give us some possibilities there, if you would.
Yeah, so I think the free agent market, you look at Rubio and you look at Tyus Jones, those two guys in particular. In fact, Tyus Jones is the name that I like the best, just because he was so productive. And if you look at what Memphis did last year when John Morant was out. I think John Morant missed 20-plus games for the Grizzlies, and they won like 85 or 90% of their games. It was remarkable how well the Grizz played without John Morant, and I think Tyus Jones was a big reason for that. So he's my top fit of the available point guards for the Wizards. He's unrestricted free agent. He's still relatively young, should be just approaching his prime. I don't think Washington wants to get involved, or I would not recommend them getting involved in the Kyrie Irving circus. We'll see what happens with Kyrie. But a couple of the guys on the trade market who I think are available are, ironically, either Charlotte Hornets or passed through Charlotte recently. Terry Rozier, we've heard that he's on the trade market. Talented scorer. The contract is fine. He makes $17 million this year and then starts in the low 20s next year and then goes up for three or four more years. So he's a young player, again, who should be approaching his prime. Good body, can score the ball. And then Devontae Graham, a guy who's out of favor in New Orleans. I like that one a little bit less. But I think there's a reason that the Pelicans may move on for him. Keep in mind that New Orleans brought in C.J. McCollum a year at the trade deadline, and it worked out very well in the short term. So I wouldn't at all be surprised. In fact, I would expect them to try to move Devontae Graham this offseason.
Nothing on Malcolm Brogdon. Have you heard that name at all?
Yeah, Brogdon for sure. Yeah, Brogdon is in play. I do think I'm glad you brought that up. I think there's some friction and tension there that was started when the Pacers made the deal with Sacramento to bring in Tyrese Haliburton. Domantas Sabonis went out. Haliburton came in. Haliburton is, I think, the point guard of the future. I think he should be. I think, he's in play. The challenge with Malcolm and the question teams have, and this goes back to his draft, and you guys know him well, watching him at Virginia, where he had a terrific career. There were certain teams who were scared off in the pre-draft process medically. He's had some injuries in the NBA, but generally has held up relatively well. So I think a lot of the calculation is teams value Brogdon, evaluate Brogdon, is not his productivity. He has been productive. He's tough. He's smart. He's a good basketball player. Is he going to hold up? He's got three more years left on his contract in that $22, $23 million range. Is he going to be sound medically? If you think he is, I think he'd be an excellent fit for the Wizards because of his size, toughness, and playmaking ability.
Ryan, you've been a GM. You're the GM of the Suns. You've been a high-ranking official in the East, Boston, among other organizations. If you were running the Wizards this offseason, you were Tommy Shepard, and you had the autonomy to do whatever you wanted. You talked to Ted Leonsis, and he said, hey, roster's yours. I'll say yes, you do it. What would you do with Beal?
I think you have to re-sign him. I think you have to. It's for those who don't know, Washington's the only team that can re-sign Beal. I'm fairly certain he's going to opt out, guys, and because it doesn't make business sense for him to do anything. Whether he re-signs in Washington or leaves, it makes good business sense for Bradley Beal to opt out. So here's some of the numbers. Let me just pull it up on my screen real quick. His player options for about $36.5 million, but if he opts out, which, again, I think he will, he can make a lot more than that in the first year of a new deal. He can make close to $43 million. So I think, the challenge for Washington is, can you get him anything, less than the max? Keep in mind, Washington's the only team that can give him a five-year deal. Now, that five-year max number is a lot. I mean, it's projected to be a five-year deal in the $250 million range. But, however, now that being said, if Washington, who knows more about Bradley's medical than anybody, thinks he's going to be medically sound, I would give him that deal because, keep in mind, the collective bargaining agreement is coming up, and most of the people around the league, myself included, think the salary cap is going to skyrocket when the new TV deals kick in. So, $55 million 4 or 5 years from now is a lot of money for Bradley Beal, but keep in mind, it's all relative, and I think the cap will continue to go up, and if Bradley stays healthy and productive, that should be a fine contract.
But it sounds to me like you're signing him to keep him, right? Because signing him is almost a no-brainer now, because otherwise you're letting him walk. I guess the question I'm wondering is, as a GM, would you try to trade him, or are you signing him to be here as your top guy?
Yeah, I think they're going to sign him and try to make it work alongside Bradley. We can debate whether that's the right call or not. The team has, tried to rebuild on the fly, so to speak, without really bottoming out. They have been, in the lottery recently, or picking, in the late lottery, early teens, in that range there. They've added some young talent We'll see how Rui Hachimura and Denny Avdija and now Johnny Davis pan out. But they haven't shown a willingness to full-blown rebuild and hit the bottom, which I understand. So I think in the short term, they can and will try to build around Beal and win. Keep in mind, guys, if he's on a 4 or 5 year contract, even at the max level, if he's healthy and if he plays relatively well, there'll be a market for him. So I would try to put a winning team together around Beal, maybe incrementally improve the team. And then if you're not able to do that, you can always look at trades for Beal starting next offseason, or if he's on a multi-year deal, you have years to figure that out.
What would work, Ryan? And I guess what I mean is I kind of feel like I've seen what it looks like when Bradley Beal's your best player. He's a good player. Don't get me wrong. I'm not running him down, but it usually looks like 35 wins and, you know, maybe you're scratching and clawing for the play-in game with a bunch of veterans. What kind of thing would work systemically? I don't know that it's Kristaps Porzingis and, you know, a veteran point guard on the market of who's available at this point. What sort of design would you try to do around Beal?
Well, the addition of Porzingis is one of the reasons I think Washington will continue to be aggressive and try to win as many games as possible. You're paying Kristaps at a max level, and if he's healthy, certainly he's one of the more talented big men in the league with his shooting and shot blocking ability. So I think the path with Beal, or the thought with Beal, is if you re-sign him, you have a full offseason in training camp now with Porzingis and Beal together, you add a point guard, and then you try to develop. You do everything you can to develop those talented young players, Johnny Davis, Avdija, Hachimura, those three in particular, Corey Kispert, and then hope one or two of them are keepers, or ideally, if one of those guys breaks out and shows a lot of value, either you keep him and he's the quote-unquote third star, or the centerpiece of a trade package to bring you a more ready-made veteran to play alongside Beal and Porzingis.
We love having you on. Always learn from you. Thank you for the time, Ryan. We really appreciate it.
Anytime, guys.
Thanks,
always
Ryan.
Great to be on with you.
Good to dive deep into the draft class after last night. Get some insight on the Wizards coming out of them making a critical pick here on Grant and Danny. Odyssey NBA Insider Ryan McDonough, Insider Calls presented by Hey Maine. Let's do this next. What is your level of Wizards interest right now? What is your level of Wizards fandom? Anecdotally, it seems to us like the Wizards are the number four team in D.C. behind even the Capitals now. Is that the case, though? I'm not sure. I think sometimes we assume the reality is what is around you, right? Like you see that in politics all the time. People think that what they think or their neighbors think or their neighborhood or the city they live in. The country's pretty big, man. There's people that think all kinds of different ways all over the place. You just might not interact with them. I wonder if we're right when we say that the interest in the Wizards has waned so much, or that people, by and large, don't care like they once did. It feels that way, but is that true? How do we best tap into that, and how do we assess that next?
Yeah, how do we quantify it? I mean, you can look at some of the data, whether it's attendance, TV ratings, or otherwise, but it just sort of...
Attendance was bad last year.
It certainly was. Lowest in percentage in the NBA, and I think 24th in overall number. And you wonder how much is that is... people going to watch their favorite team from somewhere else. You know, not quite Susan O'Malley days, but you know, sort of that level of interest. It's hard to quantify, but just sort of think outside of you, because no one's insulting you, Wizards fan. You got one here. I'm sitting right here. I care a lot, but I recognize that I'm kind of alone. We just sort of feel the energy here sitting in this studio when we do a Wizards topic, even a big picture thing. It just doesn't feel like there's that much interest in the club. And I think at one point they were third. I think they've been superseded now by the Capitals, especially after 2018.
I would agree with that. Here's the metric that I'm hoping to put together. This is what I've come up with. You tell me if you think this makes sense. So it's complicated. There's a lot of numbers, but I'm trying to make it succinct. I want a 1 to 10 ranking of how much you care about the Wizards, and I want it based in 2002, 2012, and now. You get what I'm going
yes,
for?
Yes, I do.
So 1 to 10, how much did you care about the Wizards in 2002? For me, it was a 10. I was not only watching every game, but I was playing and pretending to be dudes in the backyard, whatever else, right? 2012, how much did you care about the Wizards? I'd have to look up that specific season, but it probably would have been like a 7. That's like a Mecca Okafor Wizards, right? That's like...
I love that. That's what we're defining the era. A 20-win team in 2012.
Now, I would say I'm like a 4 at this point. Mm. But that's what I'm wondering is, what about you? 02, 12, and now.
I mean, 2002 is a 10 at its height. Probably 2012, 8 or 9. Now it is Reggie Wayne. I struggle to maintain that same level of interest. I'll say a 5, but that may be generous.
My point is, though, maybe we, because we have waned, feel like everyone has. And because of what we experience, whether that's call volume or interest or you go to less games, you know, used to go to 3 or 4 games a year and you don't anymore. And same thing for me, right? I wonder, though, if that's the actual pulse or that's the real, you know, is that the reality or is that just kind of what we're experiencing and we're influencing ourselves? But let's open up the phones next. 800-636-1067. The draft was last night. Compare your fandom now to 20 years ago and 10 years ago. And bigger picture, is that fixable for the Wizards if you have seen your passion subside? We're Grant and Danny taking out the shovel, digging in on basketball in D.C. next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
A player of the year in one of the best conferences in the country. He can fill it up, but he's a two-way player. He's committed at the defensive end. We're excited. We took steps forward. You know, that was a big commitment last night by us with him, knowing that, hey, we've got a big need, obviously, as you mentioned, at the point guard, but you really got to draft for the best player available. I think that we've learned over the years that when you try to draft for need and there's not somebody there, you know, you're never going to be happy if you took for need with a player that you're not excited about. Johnny excites us. He can score. He can pass. He can defend. I think he's going to be able to be out on the floor with any lineup we throw out there. And I'm really excited. I think he's somebody that's going to hit our rotation pretty quickly.
Tommy Shepard, general manager of the Wizards, talking about his newest player on the Junkies earlier today, right here on 106.7 The Fan. Johnny Davis, the pick last night at number 10 for the Wiz. I guess part of my frustration over the years, or just, you know, it's not calculated. It wasn't like I made a concerted effort. But as I say, I was a bigger fan 20 years ago than 10 years ago, and 10 years ago to now, and they have kind of subsided. There was a time in my childhood where the Wizards were number one, probably, to be honest with you. I've told you this before. I used to write Mitch Richmond on the name of all of my papers in fifth grade. Not my name, just... That was what I wrote.
Mitch Richmond's name.
Bit I did where I don't know why I did that. That's a weird thing to do, but that's what I did. It's not that anymore. But a lot of it is like they've never bottomed out to go be great. It's always been second or third or fourth in their division. I mean, if you look at the record, and you know, they've been in the mid-30s in wins or the 20s and low 40s in wins for so many years where they have kind of refused to acknowledge that maybe the best way forward here is to bottom out and try to be exceptional. But they're the example of when I always say the worst thing you can be in sports is just okay.
Mm-hmm.
The worst philosophy is to just, let's just get into the dance in basketball. It doesn't work that way. You can't win anything meaningful that way. And so either you're great and you have a chance at a title, or you should be awful by design to try to one day be great, and they've never done that. They've just hung around and being very average, make the playoffs as a back-tier 7-8 seed type team in the old bracket. Now you maybe play your way in. You might win a series against Toronto here or there, but we all kind of know that the end of the road is coming really quickly, right?
Yep.
So there's been highlights. I loved watching Wall, and there's been some great Beal moments, and I love Jameson and Arenas and so many of the guys in my era. But I think if you're asking me what's happened, it's the monotony of being okay, where It'd be one thing if they were a 3 seed or a 4 seed, and they're in the Eastern Conference final every few years, and I still know they're not going to get to a championship and win it. But it's not that. It's like a 7 seed where the question is, could they win a round of the playoffs? And that just gets old.
Yeah, the thing I used to say all the time during, you know, Grunfeld's various machinations of roster building was, continuity is great if you're the Spurs. Absolutely keep your continuity. But when he would stand up there and tell you about, once the big three is healthy, they were healthy for 40 games one time, like 7 years ago. We just have to stop counting on that as a thing. And then you trade away future picks and you trade away assets just to try to get more veterans to be okay, to keep sort of feeding the beast. And you end up here. You end up in this kind of endless pool of mediocrity. And what's the stated goal? Where does the buck stop with that? What I mean is, if you're a general manager and you go, hey, the best way for us to go forward is to not win 34 games, it's to win 19 games next year and try to get really, really good in 2 seasons. Does the big boss tell the youngsters, go, no, we're not doing that. I'd rather be the 8 seed than be terrible for a season. I don't know the answer to that. That's something that someone has to at some point be accountable for.
And I don't know that this is something that Leonsis thinks or not. I'm certainly not suggesting that. But I also know that it is different for me to sit here and say, be terrible as a means to potentially being great. Whereas if you own the team or you're involved in the business of the team, you can make the playoffs and get playoff gates. Like, that helps a lot.
Sure.
You know, especially when you're dead last, arguably, I think you said, in attendance via, you know, the percentage of butts and seats in your stadium.
Two teams were under 75, under 80% capacity for the season. Detroit, a team that picked it right there at the top of the lottery, and Washington.
Let's go to Kendall in Temple Hills. Great to hear from you, Kendall. How are you?
Hey, what's up, brothers?
Hey, man.
This is a layered conversation you guys are having. Because initially you said, where does the Wizards fall? Yeah, 1 through 4. That's a whole nother conversation, I think, that's deeper, that I obviously don't have time to get into. But it's in terms of football, basketball, hockey, and baseball. As far as I'm concerned, I'm a basketball head. I'm a DC sports fan. I love all my DC squads, and I love the Wizards. So I'm there. My excitement, my enthusiasm, obviously has not been the same. I'm still dialed in. So, for instance, Ernie Grunfeld. So he had all these years of mediocrity, trying to keep his job and doing just enough and selling just enough just so he can keep his job, which is the worst place you can be in sports because you can't get better. There's a stat, I believe, similar to the 10-win stat that the Commanders are suffering under, where all the other teams in the league have won 10 games since we've won our last 10 game or whatever.
Yeah,
same
11.
Thing with the 50
That's
11
wins.
It's 11 wins, yeah.
Like
yeah, 11
Detroit.
Wins. There you go. Yeah. So same thing with the 50-win. I think every team in the league has won a 50-win or had a 50-win season since the last time. I don't even know if I think maybe once we've had it.
78.
Not in my lifetime.
77, yeah. About 10 years before I was born.
Absolutely. So, but with that being said, only if you look at the last 30 years, honestly, and it's different than in the NFL, where you could be down this year and you really have a real legit chance of making it on a one game and done scenario to the Super Bowl. Whereas in the last 30 years, and I don't know this for a fact, but I would dare say you take out Milwaukee, who's 1-1, Detroit, who's 1-1, Dallas, who's 1-1. It's probably only 4 or 5 teams that have won a championship. You know, you got Golden State, you got Cleveland, Miami, you got the Lakers, Boston, San Antonio. That's
but
it.
You know what, Kendall?
Thanks, bud.
And I would be curious to appreciate you, buddy. Thank you. I'd be curious to get his thoughts on this next time we chat with him, maybe. But it's not just about winning a title, because he's right. It's hard to do that, and very few teams do it. And you basically, you have one of these 5 superstars, you don't have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
But it is more to it. Like, when is the last time the Wizards had a superstar? And what I mean by that is, like, don't call up and tell me Bradley Beal or John Wall or whatever.
They've had 2 guys who one time each made third team All-NBA when they had their career seasons.
Career seasons.
That is absolutely true.
They've made All-Star games. It was the biggest deal in the world if they got to, you know, in consideration to start for the All-Star game when maybe a couple guys were out or whatever. But what I really mean is a top 10 player in the NBA. God forbid, a first team All-NBA player, right? When is the last time that they have had that? And I mean that. I mean, there was at his apex, I would say, Gilbert Arenas, when he was scoring like 54 and 60 in back-to-back nights and going ham sandwich. Like, he got to a point as a scorer where he was James Harden-y, probably, to use a comp from now, where he was like incredible offensively. Maybe there was a fleeting period for Gil when you'd put him in the pantheon of the best in the NBA for weeks at a time. But you answer that for me. Anybody, 800-636-1067. They traded Weber before he became Sacramento Kings' unbelievable Chris Weber.
Mm-hmm.
He was on his way.
Well, on his way here, yeah.
It didn't happen during my childhood. You know, when Chris Whitney's passing to Juwan Howard, who's, you know, taking the ball from Rod Strickland, who was kicking it out to Tracy Murray. How many years ago are we talking? Are we going back to the 70s when they were winning a champion? Their only title in 77, 78? Like, when is the last time they had one of the 10 best players in the NBA?
You got to go back there.
So, okay. When's the last time they've drafted a guy? Well, I guess it's the same question. I was going to say who became a superstar. But
yeah, the best player they've drafted in the last 20 years is Wall.
Right, who they picked 1-1, and that's great. But there's one of those. You know, if you want to call Beal a massive win, there's two of those. Who else? Take those two guys out of the equation. Who else have they drafted that has been a massive success? Like, forget a superstar. What picks other than those two would you say, like, what a pick, man. That was awesome. What a huge win that was.
I think the point stands.
In 25 years we're talking about?
I mean, there have been nice pieces. Like, Otto Porter's a nice piece. That's fine.
No.
But not even close to what you're talking
Otto
about.
Otto Porter's a 3-and-D, 11-minute a game guy for the Warriors or whatever. I'm talking about, that was a third pick in the draft.
I know.
They've got two guys in Wall and Beal. So my point is not to joan on them as much as it is to say, it's not just about championships. I'm talking about interest. I'm talking about a reason to watch. Like, when they traded for Russell Westbrook, that was one of the biggest stories, and a lot of people were like, I don't want this guy. But at least it was something like interesting, and he was a name, and this is a future Hall of Famer. They just haven't had stuff like that. Like reasons in town where everyone is sending camera crews to go to Wizards Media Day.
Yeah.
Guylo, what's up?
Hey, boys.
What's up, buddy?
Your bat signal went up. Your once every year call on the Wiz.
You know me. The last caller, he talked about chances. I'm not even worried. That should not be this franchise's goal. The goal should be get to the Eastern Conference title. That's it. That's it. That should be your. That should be where it is. And when you talk about the superstars that this team has had, they've had terrible games. They've chosen players that used to be. I mean, games that used to be players and guys who are friends with other players to be games. And we've had terrible games for a very long time. That's what happens when you don't get. That's why you take Jan Bethley over Clay Thompson. That is the reason. Those type of things.
Appreciate you, dude. Phone's breaking up there, but the point was they haven't been great in the general manager department. With all due respect to a legend here in town, Wes Unseld was not the greatest general manager that ever walked the earth. And Michael Jordan did it for a little bit, or a team president, or kind of whatever. He didn't have a great track record there.
He wasn't good at it
either. And we certainly know how I feel about Ernie Grunfeld. So there's a lot of that. There's a lot of swinging and missing.
Where are we on Tommy? I mean, Tommy, he's hit a couple of extra base hits on trades that I think have worked out really, really well.
So I actually was talking to Frank Hanrahan about this last night. I argued that the first couple years of Tommy Shepard, he was literally trying to unclog one of the most clogged up toilets in the history of mankind, which was the mess that Ernie Grunfeld left. We're now starting to go, okay, rubber meets the road time here. You've had a couple of drafts, you had a couple of moments to start building this thing in your image. He's done a good job, I think, in terms of acquiring some assets, but to what end? Where are we going? If this is, if I could give him some truth here, if he's going to tell me, I want Corey Kispert to have a great first half of the season. I'm going to spin him to a contender who wants some shooting off the bench for this draft pick. And I'll move Avdija and Rui to somebody. If there's kind of an idea, we're going to gather these assets for this grand plan to go get a superstar to go along with Bradley Beal, I'll go, okay, I can sort of smell
but
that.
See, here's where I wonder about
that. But it doesn't
that.
Seem that way, does it?
He went to this school in terms of like Wizards University, right?
Yeah.
He's been here for a long, long time, and I love Tommy as a dude.
He's a great dude.
And hopefully we get him on the show soon and talk ball with him because he's the man. But I wonder if he doesn't see it like Ted sees it and see it like Ernie sees it in the sense that it does seem to me like his idea is to build a team that can make the playoffs and kind of see where that goes. To me, it is a futile losing cause to build this thing around Bradley Beal for the next several years. Now, maybe that's oversimplified, and Tommy, who knows more about basketball and his cuticle of his pointer finger, could tell me I'm a dummy, and he'd be right. But to me, if you really are committing to $50 million a year or whatever for Bradley Beal for 5 and 250, your ceiling is not the Eastern Conference Finals. You can't do that, which is why my point is you sign and trade or do whatever has to be done. maybe it's not right now, maybe it's this season, to move out of the Beal business,
yeah,
to start this thing all over. But I don't think he thinks that way. I think his point is, we get Johnny Davis playing well with Bradley, and now we go get a big, and we'll win 46 games.
The counter is, it's hard to even get a Bradley Beal. It's hard to even get that much, I think, is the counter. I'm with you, by the way. To me, I'd say, hey, we took a great shot. 49 wins in 2016, by the way. That's our year. 2016, 6+ years ago. That was our best shot at this thing. We got to rip the Band-Aid off and start again.
800-636-1067. Your fandom now compared to 20 and 10 years ago with the Wizards. Do you think there's still a chance that they can take back over in this city? Where would you rank them among the big four right now in town? This is G&D. You're listening to The Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Darris and Ryan on the production, as always. If you've missed any part of our show, go to thefandc.com when we're done. grantanddanny.com/audio. You can podcast this sucker. Talking Wiz with you right now after last night's draft. They got a brand new player in Johnny Davis out of Wisconsin. We're excited about that. We're taking inventory on how much you care about the Wiz right now. Trying to take the temperature of our listening audience on how much of a priority the Wizards are in your DC sports fandom, as they have gotten fewer and fewer headlines. It seems like less and less TV time and radio time on sports outlets over the last few years. Let's go to Brandon in Waldorf. How are you, sir?
Hey, dude.
What's going on, guys? To me personally, my fandom has never wavered. I'm still a 10 all the way through. I still care as to what happens. But I think for me what it is that, you know, every year, it's like with the Commanders. Every year you said, it's going to be the year we're going to turn around. The difference, though, is with the Wizards, they actually have pieces where they can do things with. They actually have a chance to move things around. And I think, but the thing that throws them off for me is, you know, you stink all year, and then towards the end, you go on a 10-game win streak, and now you're picking at 10, 15, 19, instead of picking at 4 or 5 when all the real difference makers are gone. So, you know, my fandom hasn't wavered at all, but...
But you're annoyed, too. That's
the best way to put it.
When you say they have pieces, what do you mean by that? Like, you think...
Okay,
go ahead. You tell me.
Okay, for example, just like Danny was saying a few minutes ago, if you... saying we're going to let Kispert develop so you can flip him for a future pick or another player or something like that. Same thing with Rui and Denny. You can do those things, you know.
I got you.
You have the pieces to make happen. But also, to your point, Grant, we did draft Rip Hamilton and Rasheed Wallace, too. We let them go.
Yeah, I mean, they've had plenty of guys they've drafted and developed and then have gone elsewhere. In the Stackhouse deal with Rip Hamilton, ended up winning the title, obviously, with Ben Wallace. Former player on that team as well. I think Ben Wallace was actually probably traded to Orlando well before that in the Ike Austin deal, if I remember correctly. Let's go to Andrew in Annapolis. Andrew, you're on The Fan.
What's going on, guys? Longtime fan. I love the show.
Appreciate you.
Thanks, pal.
I tell you what, when you brought up that Chris Webber trade, man, that one still stings.
It's every time I think about it, I get ticked off.
Webber to Sacramento for
Mitch Richmond.
Mitch Richmond, and who is the other player?
Otis Thorpe.
Attaboy. Otis Thorpe.
Oh, I forgot about Thorpe. I remember the Rasheed Wallace for Rod Strickland one kind of gets me upset too, man. But it's just that culture.
Go ahead.
That culture of the – I'm sorry.
Yeah, right.
That culture has just been there since A. Poland, because I remember going to the MCI – or not the MCI Center, the – what was the old stadium?
USA Arena.
Yeah, Arena. Thank you. They used to advertise, come see Michael Jordan versus your Bullets. Come see Charles Barkley versus your Bullets. And, like, I don't get it. They still today think they're going to grab a huge free agent. Like, Kevin Durant didn't want to come here.
He didn't give him a meeting, dude.
But I think that's honestly, you just hit on something. Because I keep coming back to what Kendall said, which was a really good call. But Kendall's point was, hey, guys, a lot of look around. There's only a few teams that have won titles. And that's true. I think where I am losing hope is you can't get a meeting with Durant. And it's more an NBA problem, honestly, than a Wizards problem. Like, in other sports, it's not like the NBA, where you don't have a chance if you're not one of these teams. Like, Kyrie's got this list, and I don't want Kyrie. I don't want Kyrie on your team, let alone my team, right? Mm-hmm. I think he's the biggest pain in the butt ever. Having said that, he's got this list I saw that's like 9 teams long of where he would play. The Wizards aren't on that.
And now, they never are.
It's one of these things where it's like, I don't want you, and now I'm saying, well, why don't you want me kind of thing? But they're never on anyone's list. Ever.
Yeah, and I guess
that
my,
gets old.
I understand that we're not royalty. And a lot of cities can be like, we're not the Lakers. We're not Boston. This is so annoying. The Toronto Raptors won a title, man. You tell me Toronto can attract people and Washington can never get to the point where they can attract a free agent? Seriously? You can't build something like Toronto did? Miami's done this multiple different times over. I get that it's Miami and Pat Riley's down there. But you've been to San Antonio? That is an unremarkable city that's always hot. They've won really, 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 really proficiently.
They were the biggest story in town when Gilbert was going nuts.
Yeah.
When else have they been?
Jordan.
Maybe right after Wall and right when Jordan came. Who was their last superstar? I'm still waiting on that answer. 800-636-1067. Plus, we'll get you ready for Nats baseball before we get out of here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.